Welcome to this special Comic-Con edition of the TV Line podcast. It's Saturday night here, and we just finished an insane day of Comic-Con madness. I'm here with Kim Roots, Andy Swift, and Vlada Gelman. Podcast newbie Vlada Gelman. She's your first time.
Welcome. Yay, Vlada. Thank you.
So it's Saturday. We just finished a 18-hour day. Now I know how they feel on Grey's Anatomy.
Or actual doctors.
Wait, are we making Grey's Anatomy money for this weekend?
Yes, you are.
Oh, yes.
You're awesome. Making Ellen Pompeo money.
Oh, I was going to say, I call Ellen Pompeo's hour.
So Comic-Con isn't over yet, but our TV Line's interview lounge is shutting down. And for the most part, the big, big chunk of Comic-Con is over. There's some stuff tomorrow. Let's talk through some of our highlights. I'll start because one just happened like 2 hours ago when I was interviewing the cast of Arrow. And I mentioned because I had heard about Michael Emerson joining the cast, but the news was embargoed until it was announced at the panel. So I brought it up in the interview, and it was the first time Stephen Amell and many of the other cast members had heard it, and their reaction was insane. Like, they flipped out. It was so cool just to get that sort of real, raw reaction from Steve Amell, who was just completely flipped out because he's a huge Michael Emerson fan.
Well, especially so many of these casts do so many interviews during this weekend that depending on when you get them during the day, it's not that they don't mean what they say, it's not that they're, but sometimes they're just a little bit on autopilot by the time you get them. Not that the Arrowcast was, but I'm just saying this like snapped everybody right into the present.
Yep.
It's fun. Well, they're either on autopilot or, as I noticed, this is a lot of my interviews came at the end of the day, and they are just so
exhausted.
Loopy.
Oh, yeah.
Or as Supergirl star Jeremy Jordan put it, loopy poopy, which he then turned into some sort of song. You'll see it in the video.
Which they all started singing, right?
I mean, you can't have the cast of, you can't have Melissa Benoist, Jeremy Jordan, Chris Webb. You have to make them sing.
Yeah.
That's from the next Supergirl Flash musical crossover, I assume.
I mean,
the
villain Loopy Poopy.
I'm feeling a little Loopy Poopy, so all the videos and interviews are starting to blend in. But the other highlight for me was obviously talking to Dule Hill and James Roday from Psych, who just give me so much shit, and I love it. And I give it right back. But Dule just giving me a hard time for asking questions and trying to get scoop out of James. About the Psych movie, it was an absolute highlight. Just immensely enjoyed myself with the two of them. And it was so nice having them back at Comic-Con after not being here last year because Psych ended and they were gone. And honestly, when I heard that the Psych movie was happening, the first thing I thought of was, oh my God, I hope that means they come to Comic-Con. And they did.
Yay.
And they lived up to my expectations.
Awesome.
Kim.
So I tried not to fangirl about, especially about things on cover, because you can't really be professional and do that. But Diana Gabaldon came to the suite for the Outlander interview, and that was unexpected. She was not originally on the list.
She's the author?
She's the author of the Outlander books. And I had to like take myself aside for a moment and have a little talk with myself about how I should not say anything stupid to this person whose work I've like memorized after rereading and rereading. So I did not make a fool of myself, yay. It was just so cool to have her in the suite and to have like this new version of the work. It's just so cool to me that people are enjoying it, this thing that I love. And I got really excited talking to Sam Heughan and Katrina Balfe about all the good stuff that's coming up. And we talked print shop, and I don't know.
It was a great interview. Also,
thank you.
It was a really good interview, and hardcore fans really seemed to enjoy it well as well. Did you have a chance to like pull Diana aside and like tell her, you know, that
you're a
fan?
Yeah, I did. I debated because you know you never know how that's going to go.
I feel like folks like that really appreciate it.
If you can't do it here, you can't do it anywhere.
That's true, but Vlada, I was very worried about how sometimes things just come out of my mouth and I can't take them back when it's
she doesn't
like
work
her
in the New York office.
That's
she doesn't
true,
know that like we do.
So I was just, yeah, but it was, I just told her very that I was, you know, a very big fan of her work. I'd read her books a lot, and she was very gracious about it. And I don't think we're besties. She's not going to, you know, like follow me on Instagram or anything, but it was a nice little start to the interview. So
nice.
That is nice. What always blows my mind is we just have so many casts like coming through, even if it's not a show I watch or a show I cover, just like turning around and seeing like a random person that I like will internally freak out over. For me, one of them was Jean Smart in the Legion.
Oh.
When they came in, because it's like, I'm not keeping up with Legion, so I forgot she was even on it, but then just like suddenly you're in the presence of like a designing woman and you're like, like it takes you back like a second, and then you have to like return to Earth.
Andy was anxiously awaiting the arrival of Alana Glazer and Abby Jacobson.
And then I didn't even talk to them.
Why didn't you talk to them?
There's no... I enjoy them from a distance.
Oh, okay.
Like when you're at the zoo.
Yeah.
You have to talk to the animals.
That was one interview, because I love Broad City and I love both of them, that I lost track of time.
Yeah.
Like, we literally were just having a conversation that I didn't want to end. You know, and some of those interviews I end and I'm like, God, I would love to just go out to dinner with these people.
Yeah.
Because it would be so much fun. I wish it didn't have to stop. I wish, you know, people weren't knocking on the door because there's another interview coming. They were both awesome, though.
Yeah.
And I asked them, spoiler alert, to give me a fun little outtake for our highlight Comic-Con reel that we always post at the end. And they gave me something really super silly. But memorable moments, you moderated the originals panel, which you didn't know going in it was going to be the farewell panel.
No.
And it turned into one.
So, you know, I got assigned the to moderate the originals panel a couple of weeks ago.
You got assigned. You're so modest. You got chosen because you are extremely good at moderating and know the show very well.
I was chosen to moderate a couple of weeks ago. And all I knew was like, season 5, how fun. We'll talk about that. Then all this news started to break, you know, characters coming back, and then the big one, you know, I think 2 days before, you know, Julie Plec announced that it was going to be the final season, so suddenly it went from just, like, a season 5 panel to the farewell panel, which, was really exciting going into it. I was like, we're going to have a good time, it's going to be great, the last laughs. There was not as much laughter as there were tears, and it was, going into it, Julie was like, you know, the Vampire Diaries cast, they were the emotional ones.
Yeah.
The originals are, you know, they're adults. They're serious. Like, they're just going to move on, next job. But I asked them, I was like, what are you going to carry, you know, what are you going to carry in your heart, like, moving forward? And as they went down the line, they all just sort of started to tear up. And then Charles Michael Davis, who is the last one that I thought would get, you know, super emotional, just broke down. He's bawling on stage. He's just like, I love you guys. And like, it might have been like the first time he said that, but like, it triggered
a tsunami of tears.
And everybody was crying. And
did you cry?
My like adrenaline is pumping when I'm on stage.
Exactly.
So like, no crying for me, but it was the last question too. So then immediately afterwards, I was like, let's light it up with some fan questions. So, yeah, that was definitely a highlight for me.
You are the Barbara Walters of the originals Comic-Con experience.
And then after that, they came in here for the suite interview. And last year, you had the very final Vampire Diaries cast interview. Was that the same this year?
They might have had one more after, but I don't think so. I think I was their last one. They like couldn't remember. That's how loopy they were.
Okay.
But I am known as the closer. one of them referred to me as Kira Sedgwick, so we are all good on that front.
So wait, Vlada has been, I think you logged the most time in the convention center out of all of us,
definitely.
You deserve your own award.
Uh-huh.
Battle pay and such.
Snaps for Vlada.
Yeah, yeah, there's an imprint of my ass in a ballroom 20 seat right now.
go ahead.
Give us the scoop, like what was your favorite panel, like what was a good moment you experienced?
I feel like the DC stuff, which I just got out of, is always really fun because there's a lot of energy for those shows and they always have some cool announcements, but I think my highlight is yet to come. It's probably going to be tomorrow because it's the Supernatural panel, and between like the Scooby-Doo crossover, the potential spin-off,
announcing
killing
the final
like
season.
Half the past, no final season, I don't expect that for at least, you know, another year. I think they're going to have some stuff to talk about, so I think that's going to be an eventful panel, and they always have the best gag reel of all the shows at Comic-Con, so I think that's going to be probably the highlight of my Comic-Con experience.
That's amazing for a show that's been on as long, and so many Comic-Con panels you've gone for them, that's the one you look forward to. That says a lot.
Speaking of a show that feels like it's been on forever, the Once Upon a Time panel for me, it was one of the few panels that I went to. Like I did more, you know, sweet time than panel time, but I loved it. It was like the kind of thing where you went into it not knowing what to expect because the show itself is doing such a big shakeup.
Right.
And they were so honest about that. Like, two references. One, They said they're introducing a new Alice in Wonderland because, quote, no one watched the spinoff. Which was...
Who said that exactly?
One of the...
Eddie gets
this, yeah. Because he was like, nobody, like, no, which was, I don't know if you guys don't know, but it was Once Upon a Time in Wonderland, which...
I literally totally forgot that even existed.
I was on that set in Vancouver.
Oh my gosh, I sometimes think about it. And then the other thing he said was one of the actors who plays adult Henry now, he got to know them because he was on the Freeform show Dead of Summer, which also famously kind of went the way of Once Upon a Time in Wonderland, and they made that joke. They were like, he was like, yeah, we met him on Dead of Summer, which I encourage you to go back and revisit. He was basically like, it's better than maybe you thought. It was like a really funny, self-deprecating panel that I thought was funny. And my voice just cracked, which means I'm completely...
You're growing up. Coming into your own, Andy Swift.
I'm totally grown up.
So wait, can I tell you about a panel that did a complete turnaround for me?
Yeah.
The Westworld panel, nothing... You know, that show is so mired in secrecy. I didn't expect a ton of news to come out of it, and for about 55 minutes or whatever it was awesome listening to them talk, but nothing really came out. And then all of a sudden, they're like, oh, we have a little footage. They've been shooting for what, like a week, 2 weeks, mm-hmm. not even that much. And the footage they showed was so good.
Really?
Yes. It was like the park is completely taken over by the hosts. People are dying. There's a shot of Evan Rachel Wood riding a horse and shooting at guests in the... Oh, it's so good.
Wow.
It's so good. I highly recommend you guys go to tvline.com and watch the trailer because it is well worth... It's like 10 seconds or 15 seconds. That's really worth your time.
And coming up in a couple days, but this probably go up on Monday morning, so it may already be up by then, but our Westworld cast interviews.
Yeah.
The cast is so big, we had two separate interviews here in our suite and got some scoop on the Westworld souvenir shop that we've never seen. And by scoop, I mean we played around.
Of what's in the shop.
And by played around, I mean we made stuff.
Going back to the footage aspect of Comic-Con, which is a big thing, the Game of Thrones trailer, the little sort of teaser, When Daenerys and Melisandre, like, seeing them face-to-face, these are just two characters that, like, I get excited anytime two characters who have never come face-to-face, especially on that show, you know, finally do. That gave me some chills.
Mm.
Yeah. That show is all... The ladies are just kicking ass on that show. I love how in the first few seasons it was just boobs, and now they're, like, running everything. It's awesome. Wait, Andy.
Yeah.
Oh, has it come to
that? Now is the time.
So most of our, most of the casts that pass through here at Comic-Con are incredible, and they all get along, and everybody's awesome. Occasionally, you have a moment where you witness something that's a little icky.
I witnessed something. Something icky.
We all did. Most of us witnessed it, and it was a little uncomfortable, and explained a lot.
It did explain a lot. So basically it was an interview that we did. Before the interview began, there was some tension between members of the cast as well as...
Just the whole group.
Yeah, just the whole crew. Came together in the end, but it's always... uncomfortable to see that.
Yeah, I immediately, because our studio is in is in the spa, the Hard Rock Spa. I immediately went into the showers and I washed myself of all of the filth that was enveloping me. And then I climbed onto... I went on the floor, crouched in a fetal position, and I rocked myself in the shower.
For the record, I'm clearly not as good at explaining blind items as Michael is. But I will say that there was yelling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was yelling.
There was yelling.
It's what's interesting to me, though, is that in in a weekend like this, where there's so much logistics that the cast and the people that, it's not just the cast, the reps and the hair and makeup mm-hmm. people, you know, there's a lot of people that go into making sure the trains run on time. And for us, it's Rebecca Iannucci, who is far and away this master scheduler.
Rebecca used to work for us full time. She still works for us as a freelancer now, but she's our sweet scheduler. She's our sweet manager. She's our sweet extraordinaire.
She's our sweet angel. She just kind of makes everything.
No, that's pushing it.
She's our sweet high priestess. Anyway, but so, and on the whole, it's kind of amazing how things don't fall apart, right?
Right.
So when they start to show the signs that they might, we get very, like, we're like, ooh!
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
So,
but you're right, it's like, it's shocking that it doesn't happen more. Because you have so many personalities, and it's a stressful situation, because everybody's under a time crunch, mm-hmm. And so many handlers, and so much mm-hmm. going on. It's kind of amazing that we're walking away from this with just one of those experiences.
Right.
Instead of a dozen. You know.
Wait, can I just, I know this is last year, but do you remember when Jamie Lee Curtis told everyone to shut the fuck up?
Yes, I know!
You bring her back.
Stopped an interview, opened the door.
And we kept it in the
yes,
video.
Yeah, you guys can see it on the site from last year, and yelled into the main area for everyone to
maybe
show.
We should just hire her to be like her
our
official.
Oh my god!
Yes.
Yeah.
You
know, Sweet Place is over.
Yeah.
You beat me to
she
that.
She clearly
has
no other jobs.
One of my favorite things, just again, because we have so many casts coming in and out, is when two casts will overlap and
yeah.
we'll kind of bump into
oh,
each other.
Yeah.
Reunions.
Yeah, well, yeah. reunion. I mean, for one, like, you know, the Fear of the Walking Dead was coming in right as Teen Wolf was leaving, and there's a guy in Fear of the Walking Dead who used to be on Teen Wolf, so I was just like, you're getting together for a picture, like,
mm-hmm.
get in there. It's on our Instagram.
Nice.
Instagram.com/TVline.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, it's just it's fun to see worlds collide. It's like a
TV cool line. We bring people together.
Oh, wait, I have another moment that I don't think I told you guys about. I was sitting in the editing room with our amazing editor Jason
Averett. Yeah.
Averett. And he was doing his thing, and I was working. And Seth Rogen wandered in and was just kind of like looking. Like there was a few minutes. Michael was in another interview, so there was a few minutes before his interview started. And he was just kind of like tooling around and doing that laugh of his. It was so bizarre. And I didn't know. I wanted to make him feel comfortable, but I didn't want him to think I was just talking to him because he's Seth Rogen. And so he was saying how weird it is in this spot area. And I was like, yeah, there's no windows. It kind of makes you crazy after a little while. He's like, yeah, I don't know if I could do it. And then he like ambled out of the room. And that's my moment with Seth Rogen. It was, yeah.
That's your Seth Rogen impression.
That was, I know, I can't do the laugh. What's his laugh like? Yeah, exactly.
He's become a circus clown.
I think we need more weed to make
I want to give a quick shout out to, there's a lot of really cool activations here, which,
oh, yeah.
I mean, clearly spent a lot of time and money and effort on them, and they're really impressive. I did a couple. I did Once Upon a Time Today. I sword fighted with Hook. That was fun. Kim and I went to the Game of Thrones and, you know, became Queens of Winterfell.
Mm-hmm.
And sat on the
King
Iron
of
Throne.
The
King of the North, sorry.
No, I know. The line for that one was really long all weekend.
Yeah. I heard the Westworld one was amazing.
I know, the Westworld one was so good that I couldn't even get into it after a while. Yeah, and you did the Outlander booth in the...
Yeah, I took a little tour of it. It wasn't so much an activation as you just go into the booth and you
mm-hmm.
get a shirt or a tote bag. That was a great setup, though, and they had a lot of Outlander extras walking around.
Awesome.
A lot of shirtless men.
That seems to be the trend now. It's like, it's not just over at the convention center. Now it's like an amusement park over here in the Gaslamp District.
Yeah.
And I think that part of it's only going to get bigger and bigger.
Well, that's so cool for people who can't afford the pass to Comic-Con.
Right.
You can still
be
here and be part of the scene and do cool things.
Or can afford the pass but just can't get in.
True.
Well, there are huge lines for the activations, too. It's insane. Like, there are people lined up for Game of Thrones the night before the activation opened.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. By the way, Broad City had an activation, and they had a room that was a coloring book with, like, paint cans, and you just color the walls.
Andy, what are you doing tonight?
I know what I'm doing first thing in the morning.
All right, thanks guys so much. This was a great Comic-Con. All of our incredible coverage is on TVline.com, including beautiful photos shot by Michael Buckner.
Some incredible
photography. Check it out. And we'll be continuing to roll out videos from our suite interviews throughout the week. So continue to check out. But anyway, thanks everybody. Happy Comic-Con 2017! Yay! Yay!